Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's ghirelli.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Final week of our final series for the 2018-2019 season. We've been calling this series brand new. I guess it's no longer brand new. We began on Easter Sunday looking at our love for most all things new. Almost all of us almost always love new things. It can be small, simple things like fresh spring flowers. It can be interesting, original things like a different point of view that we hadn't considered before. It can be unexpected things like suddenly running into an old friend. We love the brand new, and regularly we're imagining, rarely are we not imagining something brand new, something that will amuse us, entertain us, distract us, something that will improve our marriage, impact our kids, maybe even change our lives. Bottom line, with brand new excites us because, big or small, simple or expensive, brand new fills us with a certain sense of hope. A certain sense of hope for a better future, even if it's only the immediate short-term future. Which brings us to the premise or central argument for this whole series that we have been preaching since Easter, that longing that you and I feel for new stuff, well, it's placed in our hearts by God and for a reason. Jesus Christ himself has been raised from the dead. That's what we're celebrating in this season. An unexpected, unprecedented, unparalleled event that simply, absolutely, introduces a new and final period in human history. Before the resurrection, death is the ultimate and final reality. After the resurrection, Christ is the ultimate and final reality. And what God did with his Son, God wants to do with you too. But here's the difference. God raised his Son from the dead, beginning with a bodily resurrection. God begins differently with you and me. God begins by changing us from the inside out. Christ is the ultimate and final reality, and therefore life in Christ is the ultimate and final reality. And that life begins not after death in some other place, but here and now in this place or whatever place we find ourselves in. When we feel that longing for the new, it's a feeling placed in our hearts by God. Whatever new thing we're longing for or think we're longing for, the kitchen, the car, the vacation, the trip, whatever new thing we're longing for, whether we know it or not, what we're really ultimately longing for is Christ. We're longing for a relationship with Jesus Christ, who alone can renew us. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God makes us new in Christ, whoever you are, however old you are, whatever stage or state of life you're in, whatever you've done, God can make us new in Christ. It's his gift to us. We can't earn it. We'll never, ever deserve it. So he just gives it to us. We love brand new because it brings hope. You could say, when it comes to hope, that basically there are three kinds of hope. The first kind of hope you might call casual hope. Casual hopes are for more or less modest dreams and smaller outcomes we kind of wish would happen. You might have a casual hope that your golf game suddenly improves, or that your kids stop fighting for just one day, or that the Orioles start winning. Those are more casual hopes, and none of them are probably going to come true. But whether it comes true or not, life goes on. The second kind of hope we could call precious hope. Precious hopes go much deeper and last longer. They can bring greater joy and deeper sorrow into our lives. You may have a precious hope that you have children one day, or that your children will maintain lifelong friendships with you and with one another, or that you find true friends who stand by you no matter what. You may have precious hope that you find a rewarding job or a loving spouse or relief from pain. Precious hopes run far deeper than casual hopes. And when our precious hopes are realized, well, it's heartwarming. It's heart healthy. And when we lose out on precious hopes, that can be heartbreaking. But then there's another kind of hope. There's a third kind of hope that, for purposes of our discussion this morning, we'll call ultimate hope. Ultimate hope means, well, it means ultimate hope. It's what we finally look forward to see completed. It concerns the whole purpose of our lives. And because it concerns the whole purpose of our lives, it fuels our lives. While casual hopes are not terribly consequential, and precious hopes often can hardly be helped, what we place our ultimate hope in is terribly important. And here's the thing. We get these hopes mixed up sometimes, and we have a tendency to confuse them. People fall into depression and despair for lots of serious reasons, but among them is definitely the tendency to confuse these hopes. People can even damage and destroy their lives in confusing hopes. For our lives to be successful and ultimately to succeed, we've got to keep our casual hopes casual and our precious hopes in their proper context. And we've got to focus on the right ultimate hope. What is it? Well, the answer is both incredibly simple and perhaps incredibly surprising. And to look at it, we're going to look this morning at a passage from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the very last book of the Bible. It was written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the fourth gospel. John wrote Revelation toward the end of his own life, after God had given him visions of the things to come at the end of time. It's a beautiful book, but a slightly spooky one. And if you're new to the Bible, it needs to be taken in small doses. So we're just going to take a small dose this morning. The passage we're looking at today comes towards the end of the book, the penultimate chapter. John sees what happens after the end of time. Take a look. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. So John sees that God will establish what he calls new heaven and a new earth. And meanwhile, the sea is no more. In the geography of the book of Revelation, the sea stands as a metaphor for what separates a holy God from a sinful humanity. That the sea will be no more suggests the new heaven and the new earth will no longer be separated. And then comes an intriguing verse, perhaps even more important for his point. If you grow up in church, you've probably heard this verse before, but maybe you've never considered what it's really saying. I also saw the holy city in New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. If I were to talk to you about what happens after you die, you would probably say, well, I hope to go to heaven, right? Often we think of the afterlife in pretty loose and ephemeral sort of ways, clouds and harps and everybody on their very best behavior. And most people aren't really attracted to that description, right? Because being on your very best behavior all the time doesn't sound like much fun. And no offense to the harpist out there, but nobody really likes harp music either. So we're not really that excited about that description of heaven. It's just better than the alternative, so we settle for it. But the book of Revelation doesn't describe our future life in heaven in those terms. In fact, going to heaven is a cultural, sometimes deeply pious conception for the afterlife, but it is not what Revelation describes. Revelation teaches that heaven comes to earth. It's what the whole story of Scripture is about, if you think about it. God breaking in to human history. God coming to us. Generation after generation in the Old Testament, that was the story. Leading up to Jesus' birth at the Nativity, Christ's appearance at the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit's descent at Pentecost. Heaven coming to earth through all these ways. These amazing ways. Amazing, but incomplete. Completion, complete union comes, Scripture says, at the end. That is the end. Now, we've all seen the end of the world movies in which everything ends in explosions and tsunamis or alien invasions, and it's true. Scripture does speak of tribulation and trials and disasters that are to come, and that's hardly news because such things unfold every day. However, those disasters are not the final word. They're not the end. They're prelude to the end. God doesn't destroy the world and his creation at the end of time. That's not his plan. How could it be? He is the God of love who has lovingly imagined and created the world. At the end of time, he wants to seal that love in a loving union and an unbreakable bond. At the end of time, heaven will be joined to earth in a union John compares to the union of marriage, one of complete and binding unity. The end of the world described in Revelation is a wedding ceremony. Now, if you're one of those guys who aren't really into weddings, you might still have a problem with what's to come. But for the rest of us, that's good news, a wedding. John continues his description of his vision. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God.
God's dwelling in the human race, his presence with us, will be fully known to everyone, literally loud and clear. John goes on, a very touching verse. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. What's the old order? What's the world in which we live now? The world in which we know well, in which there's inevitably sadness, sin, and death because of distance and disobedience to God. This new union brings a new order in which, and here's the point, I make all things new. Christ says, I make all things new. That's it. That's our final, that's our ultimate hope, that Christ makes all things new. Our ultimate hope rests in all things refashioned new in Christ. Of course, even now, God's grace is effective and transforming, but at the end of time, when heaven and earth will be united in complete unity, there's restoration, there's renewal. All that was lost will be found. All that was taken will be returned. Our casual hopes will be clarified. Our precious hopes will be fulfilled or realigned in our ultimate hope that all things are new in Jesus Christ. There are no failed efforts when done with love and a pure heart to please God. All the work that we have done on this earth and all the work we have yet to do, the successful and frustrating, the highly praised and the largely ignored, all will be redeemed in Christ. Your greatest hurts and hang-ups, fears and failures, missteps and mistakes, your greatest losses and deepest grief, all will be renewed. How does that sound? That's why we gather in weekly worship and devote ourselves to the daily discipline of prayer. That's why we emphasize small group life and invest in tithing and giving. That's why we continue the work of restoring the world through our mission efforts at home and abroad. That's why we serve in ministry here in our parish and invest in the next generation through kids and student programs. That's why we continue to invest and invite in our unchurched friends, because of our ultimate hope, because we want others to share that ultimate hope too, because it's a better way to live.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.